Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Imagine a world where bullying isn't considered a normal part of childhood.
A world where I'm not afraid to go to school.
To speak out.
To be myself.
A world where I'm not afraid to be caught alone.
Come on, punk. We have the power to stop the bullying. Speak out.
Speak up.
Educate.
Find out what to look for and how you can make a difference at bullying.org.
Bullying is not kids being kids.
It's not about good homes or bad homes.
It's not a normal part of growing up. I shouldn't be afraid to get out of school.
To turn on my computer.
A walk to my locker. Did you know that a bully will stop his or her behavior in 10 seconds when their peers speak up?
Use your voice.
Hey, leave him alone.
We have the power to stop bullying.
Find out more at bullying.org.
Bullying.org.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Life Conversations Radio Network is expanding to become a global media for spiritual growth and transformation, and we want your support. Help us take it to the next level. If you listen to 1 minute, 5 minutes, or weekly to Life Conversations Radio Network, you are renewed, restored, and rejuvenated with guests who will inspire you to love and honor you. By funding this project, you are investing in yourself and humanity. We even have wonderful rewards when you contribute. Go to pleasefund.com/pages/347 for more detail. That's pleasefund.com/pages/347. We are one. It's time to share the message.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
I am great, I am wonderful, I am whole, I am peace, I am here, I am strong, I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God, I am you. I am healed, I am love, I am great. I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
be. When there is peace in my mind, there will be peace in the earth. In the earth, on the earth, around the earth. Because when you come at that place of peace, then you will see it around you. And even if there appears to be chaos, you'll be the light bearer, the healer who shows up, supporting people to move to their next level of transformation. Ricky Byers Beckwith. Om Shanti. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference simply by being you, simply by being here. Just the fact that you can hear this conversation, you're making a difference. And you get to choose how you want to make a difference. You get to say what it is. You get to name it. You get to name that the difference you're making is a positive one, because you have that power. You have that power. And if you don't have that power, if you don't think you have the power to call your life good, but keep listening. By the time we finish aligning you, changing your oil, replacing the plugs, deleting the spyware in your hard drive, you know, we're going to work with your car consciousness, your computer consciousness, connect you to the true operating system called your ancestors. By the time you drive away from the show, I feel different. I feel enlightened. I feel powerful, because you are. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Welcome, welcome. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and yours truly, Life Coach Adam. Ancestral Blueprints airs every last Wednesday of the month. And so it's about that time. I remember when I said to Lisa, yes, I remember when a month used to be 4 weeks. Now a month is like 2 weeks. If you don't understand that, yeah, that's okay. Don't worry about it. Would you give me some of your time? Hey, Lisa, how are you doing?
Oh, good morning, Ade. I'm doing very well, and I appreciate that reflection about how quickly time is going. Yes, indeed.
Indeed. And, well, you know, we get to have you here quickly. Well, it feels like it anyway. We look at the calendar, it was a month ago, but time does fly.
Yes,
I'm going to do some quick announcements, and we're going to continue our conversation, Ancestral Power and Disempowerment, how we see it, how we show up in our world. So, you know, we embrace or just nudge the listeners to brace themselves, because we don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be good. It's going to be good. It's going to be healing. It's going to be transformative. Some quick announcements here. We're taking your questions, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. And make sure you press 1 on the keypad and stop reading while you talk, Life Coach Ade, because it throws you off. Okay, so yes. And, yeah, we're taking your questions. You can also post your questions in the chat room, which Celeste, Casper, or myself will get to, so stay tuned for that. What else do I need to tell you? Tomorrow, Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. I'm flying solo, and so that should be fun. We'll see what would come through. It's going to be great, whatever it is. And next Monday, or just Monday, well, it's Labor Day, but we're actually going to do a show. And I'm having Dr. Mark Armstrong join me, and I've been seeing Dr. Mark now for the last 4 weeks. That man is just amazing. We're going to talk about mind management, how you can support your body in healing you. And you know, I talked about the deleting the files that are not supporting your software, but what's in your consciousness? What brain patterns do you have that's not supporting you? We're going to talk more about that next Monday with Dr. Mark Armstrong. Yep, that's Labor Day, but, you know, you can chill and heal on Life Conversations Radio. So make sure you come back. Come back tomorrow. Come back Friday, Saturday, Sunday by listening to the archive, and come back on Monday. Just keep coming back. You know, this is where it's happening. What else do I need to say? So let's back up everything. I don't know. Today I'm going and growing with the flow. I think I covered everything. No, you know, you can sign into chat room, Celeste. Yes. So I think we're ready for Ancestral Blueprints, don't you think? I think we are ready. Lisa, are you ready? Oh, where's
I'm
Lisa?
Ready.
Where's Lisa? Oh, there you are.
I'm
there's a lot of our callers are excited to share their thoughts. But we're going to lay a foundation and we're going to take calls. But today's topic is ancestral power and disempowerment. Lisa Addison is my co-host, and she's here, as I said, every last Wednesday of the month. She's a psychotherapist and the author of Ancestral Blueprints, Revealing Invisible Truth in America's Soul. And so, Lisa, let's talk about this ancestral power and disempowerment. What is that all about?
Well, it was a pleasure to be in conversation with you before we came on air to talk about what that is all about. What's present with me is the invitation to come into awareness, you know, for all of us, just to have a little time to reflect on how it is that we think about power. What is power? Who has it? What does it look like? What does it feel like? Where does it come from? And then to consider that in connection with the families we come from. So if we ask the question, you know, who is it in our families we perceive as having power or not having power?
Mm-hmm.
What does that package look like? What do those images look like? There's likely a lot of information there for each of us to consider. So our time together today is really to be with that, you and I, kind of unpacking some of that, and for people to kind of feel these images in their own ways while they're with us. Yeah.
So when we're talking about in the context of ancestral blueprints, are you saying that how we feel, if we're feeling powerful in our lives or disempowered in what's going on, that could be in connection with our ancestral blueprint, or it is, in fact, in connection with our ancestors.
That's right. That's exactly right. So how it is that we experience everything in our lives, including power, it's not in separation. It's not independent of our ancestral maps, and so there's a lot there for us to just think into a little bit. So if there are places in my life where I feel particularly powerful or maybe not powerful, it's likely in resonance with some images from our ancestral blueprints that are also asking to be seen a bit more clearly.
Now, as we tend to do this regularly, and I always feel and sense that is needed, let's talk about and briefly talk about what ancestral blueprint, so that new listeners can understand what we're saying and this whatever, you know, they're thinking, what is ancestral blueprints? Can you explain that?
Yes, thank you. Yes. So ancestral blueprints is the phrase that makes sense to me to describe the map of who and where we come from that lives inside of our soul. And so that phrase came to me over the last many, many years that I've been working with what's called systemic family constellations. The constellation approach is a method that is used both in groups and in one-on-one work, that with a seasoned facilitator, it allows us to see how particularly unacknowledged truth in our ancestries may still be affecting us in some way. And the kinds of truths that are particularly relevant with that approach have to do with belonging. You know, paying attention to who belongs where in the family map has to do with order of relationship between parents and children, has to do with balance of giving and taking in relationship, has to do with when there have been experiences of injustice that have gone unrecognized how those affect the larger family map.
It's an interesting thing. And for the listeners who may be listening for the first time on this show, you know, it's really about, it's about wholeness. And we've had questions about, well, what, why would I have to think about my ancestors when they're already dead? I mean, isn't that in the past, you know, because we tend to, and I think in the Western world, we tend to think once answered. Well, actually, you know, and I've said this before, listen, I want to hear your thoughts on that, because we say that, you know, we don't think of it when ancestors die, or our grandparents, great-grandparents, our parents die, they're gone. But there's some kind of ancestral worship, if you will, you know, because the things, I mean, really, for me, you know, I won't go there. I won't scare anybody. I'll leave that alone. I'll take the privilege to leave that. I'll share that tomorrow on my show. But we go gentle with people. But there are things when we look at, you know, in America we talk about the forefathers. There are things when we celebrate people who left a legacy that we're proud of, or build a corporation that's still around today. But normally, if it's a legacy that we're not proud of, we tend to ignore that or not talk about that. And it happens, really. It's a human way of being, that we celebrate what we are proud of, so we may celebrate the power that we felt our ancestors left behind, or how powerful they were. But then there are those of us who feel like our ancestors were disempowered or didn't live a powerful life, and we tend not to talk about it. What are the downfalls of that? I mean, is it important to, because even if we perceive that our ancestors didn't have power, they were disempowered, especially if you think of African Americans, you think of the story of Africans that came here that were enslaved, that's not a very powerful history that we want to talk about. So how do we juxtapose that and say, okay, if we really want to, if we're saying that how we perceive our ancestors could be how we see ourselves, how do we switch that in the present moment?
Yeah, it's a great question. Slowing it down is part of the invitation. And mm-hmm. so when we can slow it down, because our mental body goes very quickly. How mm-hmm. our minds make meaning of things happens often faster than we could possibly be aware of. So if we slow it down for a little bit, like we're doing now, we can then start to see that there is a difference between what our ancestors experienced, what they did, and simply who they are. So what happened in their lives or what they did, whether they experienced a kind of a victimization, which is what you're describing with slavery, or mm-hmm. whether they did something that was, you know, from a Western perception, we have our cultural lens too, our cultural definitions, when we look at particular things as being more or less powerful. But mm-hmm. but these things are not the same thing as who the person is. And when we slow that down, we can begin to see that in the deeper landscape, in the deeper truths of the soul, who our ancestors were, who they are, without them, we wouldn't be here. It's just mm-hmm. too simple. And so there's a power that comes from simply recognizing that they belong in that place where they were born into, just like we do. There's a possibility to access the kind of power that comes from just connecting with life force, that they were the best ones, they were the only ones who passed life on to us. That puts us in the position of being the best ones, the only ones to receive this life that's been passed on to us. That kind of power often goes unnoticed, because of you know, again, all these things that we're talking about, how quickly the mind goes, cultural lens, these kinds of things.
It's being able to identify who they, what they did and who they are, because that makes a difference, you know. And even the experience that they had. I'm just thinking about this. We're going to take a call in a minute. We're going to take a call in a minute. But I wanted to ask your thoughts on this, because, you know, the generally, because that's a blanket statement. So generally, we tend to say, oh, back in the day, things used to be better. Back in the day, our ancestors had communities. They were close to one another. Nowadays, we're disconnected. We have internet. We have Facebook. We have all this thing that's caused us to disconnect. How does that kind of assumption, perception, conclusion, if you will, affect or help us now? Because normally people don't always look at it as it's a comparison, as if we're in a deficit. So that kind of comparison or conclusion, does that really help us in this present time when we're talking about the power or the disempowerment?
Boy, there must be a lot in what you're saying, because I'm gonna have to. I'm gonna have to ask you to say a little bit more, because there must be a lot in it. Can you say a little bit more?
What I'm thinking of is when we look at our discussion today, we're talking about learn how your perceptions of power in your family affects how you see power in your own life. You know, so if how I see power in my family, if I've looked at my ancestors, the ones who came before me, and saw them as powerful or disempowered, and see how, and that is influencing how I'm showing up right now, because we're talking, it's about perception, and you know, they say perception equals reality. So when I look at that and I think of the general statement of how we used to say, oh, back in the day, things were better, people got along, shouldn't that add to the kind of life that we're living, that we feel a sense of, why don't we feel a sense of connection, really, is what I'm feeling in that question. Why don't we feel a sense of connection from the perception that our ancestors did things better than how we're doing it now? Because, I'll stop there. I mean, does that make it clearer?
Yeah, I can feel that, you know, what you're bringing up, it's very important, and it's, you're in the neck of the woods. It has to do with the relationship between power and connection, mm-hmm. and between power and community.
Mm.
You're talking about community. What's the relationship between power and community? And what was the experience? So let me just check this out with you. What comes through when you ask a question and speak about it? It's what, you know, okay, so if in my ancestors' lives they experienced power in community in a particular way, what's the relationship between that and then how it is for us today, how we experience power in community? Am I hearing what you're not saying correctly?
Yeah, I think I'm hearing what I'm not saying too, because when you put it back to me like that, we still talk about the importance of community. I mean, Life Conversations Radio is a community. People come here every day to listen. We connect, and we feel powerful. Our listeners will come and say, you know, before the show, I was feeling down. I was feeling kind of nervous. I was feeling unsettled, but now I do. So I guess it does tie into what we're talking about. It's that whole thing about perception equals reality. But even more than a perception, because there's something about, I don't know, I'm really feeling this as we're talking. There's something about how we see our ancestors and what happened or didn't happen, how that show up in our lives. So if I'm feeling disempowered, whatever race we are, whatever my position is as a father, as a mother, as a wife, as a husband, there's definitely got to be a connection with those that came before me.
Yeah,
it's what I'm really getting. That's what's coming up for me as I talk with you. I don't have a question, so I'm just going to throw it back to you before we go to the callers.
Yeah, we may not know the facts, all the details of what these things, these experiences looked like in
mm-hmm.
our ancestors' lives, but it doesn't mean that we're not affected. It doesn't mean that we may not be in resonance with some aspects of what went on. Yeah.
So and this month we're focusing on reclaiming your power, and just what I'm feeling, sensing, and hearing, the importance of recognizing our ancestors, who they were, what they did, how they lived their lives, so that we can stand in the power, that the real power that we are, rather than feeling disempowered. So much comes up for me, and I think after the calls we'll come back to that. Because you and I, we've talked about in the spiritual community, we talk about don't focus on the past or just in life. Don't focus on the past. It's gone. But when you're talking about ancestors, there's a sort of focus on the past. So let's take some calls, and then we'll come back and sort of deal with that, not focusing on the past and looking at the past. And should we or should we not? The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. We are taking your questions, your comments, your thoughts, your doubts, your confusion. We're taking it all, because it's the house of love. So whatever you're bringing to the table, we're going to join together in the name of love and join together with your ancestors and enlighten you. Let's go to Glenda. Glenda, what you mean you're feeling funny?
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing, Glenda?
I'm doing well, I think. How are you?
Good. Say hello to Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm well. Good to hear your voice, Glenda.
Okay. I am. It's interesting, the topic. So in this moment, the space where I am in, is I'm really thinking that me as an individual must not belong to the family that I was born into, because in this moment I'm really thinking that the best thing for me is to just really leave and totally not be connected to my family. So I guess I wanted some feedback on that. There's backstory to that, but that's just where I am at the moment. You could be part of a family and not really experience your greater good around that family, and I feel like that's my experience.
Yeah, you're absolutely not alone in that experience and what you're describing, and I would invite you to consider that you're likely not the first person in your blueprint to feel that resonance of not belonging.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That makes sense. That makes sense to you.
Well, I don't know of any other person in my family that feels like they don't belong. But I can say that it's a possibility. I know that what I've been experiencing is that anything that I do that really is just about me as an individual shines and soars. But any like when I'm around my family, that energy is almost like squashed. So that's what's making me say, oh, you know what? Maybe some people should just grow up and not be around their family. That's kind of like I am at the moment.
I wanna really honor and respect what you're in contact with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the big landscape that I trust that you're in contact with when you say what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There is a very consistent thing that I have seen in working with people with the constellation approach and with these ancestral blueprints, and that's, you know, when a person feels that sense that you're describing, there's often a kind of a, it's like a systemic pressure of some kind.
You said a systemic pressure? Is that what you said? This is systemic pressure?
Exactly. Yeah. It's often a kind of, there's larger forces at work. It's not an individual issue. It's you know, we feel it as an individual because that's how we live our lives. You know, we walk around with our individual body. That it's very easy, particularly in Western culture, too. We focus so heavily on the individual. But what one person feels is very much in contact, you know, with this larger picture. And so I would invite you to, you know, at the end of the show, take a little look at my website to read a little bit about this constellation work, because it really might provide a path for understanding more and also having greater compassion and freedom.
Okay.
And I want to, before you go, Linda, well, before you, I don't know if you're hanging up or listening on the phone line.
No,
but,
I'm listening to you now, yeah.
Okay, cool. So, okay, just hang about because I want to talk a little bit about belonging. Where I just want to ask Lisa's stuff because, thank you, Linda. As Glenda, you know, shares this story, I know there were times when I felt like not belonging. I mean, with my family, with who I am. That sense of belonging, because you said it's in connection with a whole landscape. Is it a human experience or it's that there's some of us that have that? I mean, I don't know, because I know for me, I don't know if I can actually say that. Let me choose this. Just one of the things I love about this show, it helps me slow down my thought and really listen from a deep place, because I always feel like the other forces kind of speaking through it as me. But this sense of belonging, I know I struggled with that for a long time until, I don't even know, I mean, there's a lot of work that I've done to be in a place now where I feel comfortable where I'm at. And I think there's still a moment where I feel like I don't belong. But is that a human condition, if you will? Is that just part of life? But I know you said it's in connection to our ancestors, but I tend to meet and talk to people to say, now I feel like I don't belong in my family. I feel like I'm different.
Yeah. I see this similar thing. There are human condition in our human family seems to have quite a lot of this feeling, you know. It is curious to me too. One of the things I also see is that there's a difference between a feeling and a fact. You know,
and when you know the difference, you will be free. Okay, go ahead.
I mean, it's a tricky thing because sometimes our felt sense of something is such a deep feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a deep feeling. It feels like a fact.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And it's so. It's important to honor the depth of the feeling and the information that gives us. When there is a deep feeling of not belonging, what I see from my work is that points to some experiences in the family system of unacknowledged truth operating. Unacknowledged truth and the the lack of permission or ability up until this point to recognize these truths, whatever those are, creates a pressure. It's an unseen pressure in the soul of the family for somebody, often more than one person, to feel like they don't belong. And so what I'm describing, it's the kind of a thing that comes up in these group sessions, these constellation group sessions, or in one-on-one work all the time. It's a persistent thing that comes up. It's part of our human family. And so the wisdom operating in the family soul knows everyone belongs. Every single person belongs. And so there is a very persistent invitation from that soul to bring the whole family into balance. So I'm saying a lot here. I'm aware it's a lot.
Yeah. Before we take the next call, I want you to just speak to that unacknowledged truth. And because there's so many places we can go, as you were talking, and I'll come back, I'll let you answer that question. But I thought of there are some of us that feel that we don't belong in our family, but there are actually people who feel they don't belong in the country. So it gets bigger and bigger. It's like, I don't belong here. So that it's interesting when you talk about the feeling and fact and really being able to make that distinction. But let's talk about the unacknowledged truth, and then we'll go back to some callers. We've got quite a few people waiting in line to share their thoughts. Unacknowledged truth. What do you mean by that? Just for the benefit of new listeners.
Most of the time, the kind of unacknowledged truths that are affecting us have to do with, there was a loss or a trauma or a grief or a guilt or a shame in an experience. And so in that human experience of loss or grief, guilt, these kind of things, the person who experienced whatever they experienced goes unrecognized, unacknowledged. Mm-hmm. So maybe I have a grandmother who died in childbirth. And the trauma of that loss was so big, she goes unacknowledged. A woman who dies in childbirth in her family often goes not talked about because the loss is so big. War experience, the experience of war resonates deeply. And so there are many, many unacknowledged truths around war experience that resonate for generations and families.
Yeah.
People who loved each other, and in whatever the nature of their love relationship, it had to be a secret for whatever reason, So those love relationships that go unacknowledged. Many examples. We'd be here all day, and we can bring up more, but I don't want to flood all of us with all these examples.
I know. You're talking about love relationships, and it's the statement that comes to me, everything that's done in the dark will come to the light. Now, you may deny the light, but it's going to say, I am here. I want to be acknowledged. And there's quite a few conversations going on in the chat room. We're going to take a call in a minute. Less than a minute. Senna, I don't quite understand. Senna is asking a question. She said, what about the legacy and imprint of us or our ancestors when it comes to reincarnation, simultaneous lives? Well, what is the question? I don't understand, Senna. If you can clarify that, we'll be happy to answer. Let's take a call. Let's go to Reverend D in Atlanta, Georgia. Namaskar. How are you doing, Reverend D?
Namaskar. How are you, Ajay?
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm the USC that you saw on the page.
Oh, hello, I thought that was some kind of World Wrestling Federation or something.
No, because I was doing some work there. Then I saw that Lisa was on, so I quickly turned over here. So how are you, Lisa? Well, it's so nice to be hearing your voice.
Oh, and nice your voice. A blessing to be with you, Reverend Dee.
Blessings, blessings. I just want to tell the listeners how that I am, you know, the number one fan of Lisa. And I have worked with her for years and years and years. And Ade is a brother too, so, you know, this is really like a reunion right here that you are experiencing. And the comment that I want to make today is just based on what Ade has been talking about this sense of belonging. And from the work that I've done with Lisa, I have found that the sense of not belonging sometimes, it's really that judgmental attitude to where we come from or what we have heard about it, which is, with Lisa, is really the truth not being told. And I learned also from Lisa that what your position and your space and your family history and everything that you have is just right. And that sort of removed all the judgments for me to really look and say everything is just right in my life. Is such a beautiful place to be in. Instead of looking at every little detail and saying, why did this happen? And questioning it. I used to question a lot about my relationship with my mother because I was, my parents traveled when I was very young and I was with my grandmother for 5-6 years. And then they came back. And I tell you, I didn't know them. But the worst part was they took me from my grandmother and I had to start living with them. And it was such a shock to me, their whole westernized attitude, you know, all that. But the main thing about it was that listening with Lisa and being able to know that even that threesome relationship, my grandmother, my parents, and that I really used to question at the back of my mind was right. Was just right.
It's trust in the process of life. And, you know, I like how you tie that in because the whole thing about the unacknowledged truth when we get to a point when we acknowledge it first, you know, it's that stages through the work that Lisa does, Family Constellations, being able to go through that and look at what was unacknowledged to get to a point in saying, you know, it was just what my soul needed to grow and evolve.
Yes.
So true. But just for some of us, it's like we got to do the work. Go ahead.
Just part of our journey. Just part of it.
Indeed. 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 Lisa, you want to add anything?
Oh, it's such a blessing to hear the reminder of what comes through you, Reverend D, and it makes me want to say how commonly, out of our human condition, we are inclined to argue with history. So the judgment that we have, you know, it's coping. Mm-hmm. And God bless anything that we do to cope, but this is the purpose of our judgments. Our judgments are there to protect us from the truth. So when we no longer need that protection from what is, it makes it possible to release the judgments, to be in a place of acceptance, in a place of acceptance with history has happened, however it's happened. And as you remind us, it is just right because it's done. It's just done. And so then when we are in relationship with history in this way, so this goes back to the point you brought up earlier, Ade, you know, what's the point of looking at the past, you know? The point of looking at the past is to see what our relationship truly is with it. Many times there's an impulse to, I don't want to look at the history because, in fact, I'm really arguing with it. And I don't want to see that I'm in disagreement with it. And so I'm trying to run away from it. This is a very, very, very common experience. The American field is filled, the country was founded on running away from. So it's a very big resonance in this energy field that we live in the U.S. So it's not a light thing that we can come into conversation and being with one another in the way that we are, where we can, again, slow it down a little bit and come into contact with what is and be with one another. I feel strongly this is not meant to be done alone. It's meant to be done in community. This is where our sense of power comes from, by being with one another in connection with history, where we can accept what is, and then we have a much greater chance of being present and looking to the future from a place of calm and acceptance. If we are arguing and running away, we've no chance to create something different. No chance. Mm-hmm. We will repeat.
Yeah.
And repeat.
Yeah, Adi, can I say something before I go? Because I have to,
sure,
I know there
sure.
are many other people on the line.
There's something that I also learned from working with Lisa, which is that our ancestors, and I share this a lot with my African-American friends, and some of them, you know, they don't want to hear, but our ancestors have already gone through the pain. They don't need us to go through their pain anymore. Actually, they want us to use their strength to move and do things and move forward, not go through their pain. The pain is to give us strength. So if we look back and we see that strength, and that is why when she does the seven levels, you can really feel all the ancestors behind you supporting you to move forward, because there's no more pain to carry. It's done. But the future is so powerful.
Ooh, I feel the chills of what you just said. Yes, it did. It's really, and that, it's just, you know, what Lisa was saying, the whole thing is looking back rather with judgment, but with acceptance. And in that acceptance,
exactly.
there is healing. With healing comes power, so that we can pay it forward for those who are yet to come behind us.
Yeah.
Thank you, Reverend D. I appreciate
you.
Thank you for bringing your energy, your power, and the Nigerian ancestors. Double dose. thank you.
Bye-bye, Lisa.
Thank you.
Blessings.
Bye-bye. Life is good. It's getting better. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with Carly. You're listening to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Ade. I am Lisa Iverson. She's Life Coach Ade. No, she's not. I am not. That's Lisa on the other side. I'm pointing like you're looking at me. I am Life Coach Ade. And Ancestral Blueprints. I have to be silly every now and then. Just to kind of, somebody's dealing with like, oh my God, that's too deep. What do you mean? The pain? We can just let it go. Just relax. Slow it down. Relax. It's okay. We're about healing and looking back in the past. Acknowledge what needs to be acknowledged, embrace it, accept it, know that there is a higher power in control, and you're part of the process. So the gifts you can give to yourself, your family, humanity, is to be the place where healing happens. And healing happens with awareness and acceptance. We're taking your calls, 347-426-3346. Senna, I don't know if you clarified your question, but I'm gonna look. Well, see if I can. Maybe Celeste can look for it for me. And being in our ancestors, yeah, because there's something about reincarnation and parallel. You're really going there. Okay, so you might have to call in so I can understand what you're saying, Senna. And then when we come back, we take a break. Lisa's website is Family Constellations with an S. FamilyConstellationsWest.com. FamilyConstellationsWest.com. That will give you more insight about what we're talking about. And when we talk about unacknowledged truth and Lisa's work, she's the author of Ancestral Blueprints, Revealing Invisible Truth in America's Soul. And when we look at the truth that we're hiding from, we can all be free. Now, before we take a break, Lisa, someone is asking, I think it's Teresa. She said, do you train teachers
Does Lisa train others to be teachers of the work she does?
There are many different ways to learn with me, and I would invite her to contact me directly at my email listed on my website, and I'm glad to talk with her further.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. And if you can't find Family Constellations where, or you see some of the website, just go to lisaiverson.com. Lisa, L-I-S-A, Iverson is I-V-E-R-S-E-N. We are going to take a break, and right here on Life Conversations Radio, we got a dare going on. We're daring you to live your best life, and then we're going to come back and take a call.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio Network is expanding to become a global media for spiritual growth and transformation, and we want your support. Help us take it to the next level. If you listen to 1 minute, 5 minutes, or weekly to Life Conversations Radio Network, you are renewed, restored, and rejuvenated with guests who will inspire you to love and honor you. By funding this project, you are investing in yourself and humanity. We even have wonderful rewards when you contribute. Go to pleasefund.com/pages/347 for more detail. That's pleasefund.com/pages/347. We are one. It's time to share the message.
Ah, the sound of children playing. Something about hearing children laughing and playing has a way of bringing us joy. When was the last time you played? No children, no work, just stopped and took the time to tap into your inner joy. You're never too old to play. Successful people value their playtime. That's why Divine Arts Productions presents PLAY, Purposefully Loving and Appreciating You, a weekend specially designed with you in mind to help tap into the big kid inside. There'll be dancing, music, video games, pool parties, fireworks, and so much more. To register, go to iwillplay.org. That's iwillplay.org. Give yourself the gift of having fun. I will play, and I will see you there.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Yes, indeed. As you embrace the past, as you look at the past, as you kind of go in and reflect about your power, maybe you're feeling disempowered. It's all about being the change you want to see. You are listening to Ancestral Blueprints on Life Conversations Radio. My guest or my co-host is Lisa Iverson. And, yeah, I'm Life Coach Ade. Ancestral Blueprints is every last Wednesday of the month. And I have my show that I do Monday to Thursday, 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern, Ask Life Coach Ade radio show. We have a lot of people in the chat room. We have silent listeners for Saggy Kobe. We have Demi. Silent listeners disguised as guests. Niecy's in the house. Peacemaker in the house. Zoe, Santa Love. Tyrol, Teresa's in the chat room. Thank you all. And those of you on the phone line, thank you all for listening and tuning in. Let's take a call. Let's go to Carly Jackson. Every time Carly comes on, I want to sing a song with my voice. My throat is like, don't you dare. So I won't. Don't you dare. Well, actually, you know what, Carly? I'm going to put you on the spot before you share your comment. Can you just sing one line of Happy Birthday for Michael Jackson since it's his birthday today?
For who?
Michael Jackson's birthday is today.
Oh, my God. Do you know that I am the biggest Michael Jackson fan in the world? I still have the dolls and the buttons.
You've been moved now because you forgot. You've been moved to the next level. So you might redeem yourself by singing happy birthday to it.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Michael. Happy birthday to you. That's it.
Yeah, you got your position back now. You're the biggest fan. You're back. He's like, thank you. I appreciate that.
I just kind of got up, so my voice is a little challenged.
That's okay.
Oh, thank you.
Ooh, people are clapping.
Listen, I have to first. Well, hi, Lisa.
Hello.
Thank you for the show.
Thank you.
I have to say thank you to Reverend D because she took me to church a minute ago. That was really powerful. My comment that I wanted to say was inspired by Glenda. Something that she said that came up for me. It's more about my my church family experience. Not so much ancestral. Well, everything's the same. I feel like it's the same kind of situation. I have a twin sister, and we both came up singing in the church. I didn't have the level of confidence that my sister had. So when we would sing songs together, it was clear that my sister was received better, just in applause and in everything, you know. And I felt a little, self-confident. No, I didn't feel self-confident. And so I kind of shrunk around how they were receiving both of us. And I, at that age, a young age, made it mean that folks didn't like my singing as much and definitely like my sister. But the comparisons, it was pretty overwhelming. So between that and just me even moving in a different spiritual direction, I stopped going, you know, to my traditional church for years. And when I started coming into myself, joined a new church, and all of a sudden, I didn't know where this voice came from. Just my voice started getting stronger, and it was like this amazing experience. Then I went back to my old church and could not believe how shaky I sounded and how, unsure. And I just couldn't, something in Glenda's story brought this up, and I said to myself, how is it that every Sunday when I'm singing at my, you know, my new church, I'm sounding like an angel. And then here I come back and visit after all these years, and I sound shaky and frightened again. And I said to myself, it was the first time I looked at the situation and took some level of ownership, because I said to myself, I'm still holding on to something. I'm still holding on, you know, to what story I identified with. And believe you me, I don't know Glenda's story, because I know she's got, there's some experiences there, and I don't say this to, you know, place blame or take away any sort of trauma that's experienced. But nonetheless, I feel like when we identify with it, it kind of shows up that way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then fairly recently, I had to start and like even look at that situation and look at my part that I played in it, and I had to think about how I perceive my church family. What am I perceiving about with them? And when I went there last time, I sang like in a way that I never sung before, and it was received in a way that it's never been sung before. And I realized that it was because I started to stand in, you know, who I was in the midst of the story that I thought, you know, that I identified with. And you know, so I don't know if that can be compared ancestrally. I mean, you know, one other quick thing. I have a coworker, an African American coworker, who would always say every time he walks into certain stores, he's being stared at. You know, they're following him, they're watching him, and I'm thinking, you know, he goes in there prepared for people to, you know, stare at him or follow him. And who's to say if he's not walking in there with that vibration that people are picking up on that and just looking at him like he's wearing a sign, like, stare at me. You know, and I'm thinking, I don't experience that when I walk into certain stores. So I guess my question is, like, how much is it us identifying with certain things that keeps these ancestral situations alive for us?
Mm. Yeah, I'm so happy for you calling in. It's
I just can't imagine who could not relate to this, what you're saying, you know.
Right.
Could not,
right.
You know, this experience of being an adult and then going back into a situation from your childhood, you know. Mm-hmm. You're talking about going into an environment in your home church from growing up, and then how easily that experience from childhood comes up.
Mm-hmm.
when we are back in that setting. So this, I strongly see this too. It's a part of our humanness and how it is that we can make a good home. What I do with myself best I can and in working with people is to make a good home in our hearts for the truth of
mm-hmm.
what it was like as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Because this can, too, be part of what is creating struggle and a feeling of powerlessness. Because the truth is that as children don't have as much power as adults do. They don't have as much freedom and choice about the situations, you know, that they're in as grown-ups do. And so sometimes there can be, it's kind of like an automatic pilot way
mm-hmm.
of being that gets triggered. We could be 30, 40, 70, 80 years old, but a child experience could be with us and kind of running things.
Mm-hmm.
And so
right.
You know, to be able to make a good home in our hearts for the truth of how it was as a child and whatever the experience was can allow the experience to settle down
mm-hmm.
and find its place of belonging,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that our more full adult self can be more present. So that it's a blessing when you speak that it invites all of us to kind of see that, how that goes.
Yes, yes.
So we can
yes.
accept without identifying.
It's very easy to do that, yes, to identify exactly what you're saying. It's easy for the
mm-hmm.
experience to be so big that it can kind of take over and yes, that we can identify with it and make it more than it is, too, and
mm-hmm.
make it the truth, you know, that we can make the story the truth
rather
right. than, you know, allowing a way that the feeling could find its place of being settled without judgment. Again, you know, kind of tying everything together that we've been with, you know, the judgment about the situation keeps an energy going.
Mm.
Mm.
Judgment blocks flow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Judgment blocks flow. And Carly, mm-hmm. I'm so glad you brought this up because what I'm seeing is, for me, what came up for me is your story is, there's something when you drew the conclusion that they prefer your sister over you, it's almost like, as I see the picture come up for me, your soul is like your soul will say, no, 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 that's not the truth. So every time you're in that space and you're
mm.
holding on to what isn't truth, it's almost like
mm.
your soul is shaking you, stop it. And then
oh.
you feel out of control. I mean, oh. and I know for me, there's experience that I've had. So when we are feeling out of control because we're with family members who don't think as we think or believe what we believe or judge us when we were younger, for me, I'm seeing this image of it's something in us shaking
mm.
us and saying, no, 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 see the truth in this situation. Though
mm.
we say they make me feel insecure, they make me feel whatever, it's an opportunity for us to see what is the truth here.
Mm-hmm.
What is the truth? And for the most part, when we've been judged, criticized, and blamed by our loved ones, when we sit down and have a conversation, a heart-to-heart conversation, we realize they meant something different. You know, that's when the healing happens.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then awareness comes and the healing happens and we're left with, oh, my God, all this time I thought you meant you
mm-hmm.
didn't even mean that. I thought
mm-hmm.
you were rolling your eyes at me. Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing that to the table, my sister. Always
well,
bringing
you.
The truth.
Thank you.
Mm,
thank you, Lisa.
Appreciate you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay.
Mm.
All right.
Yeah, we're going to come to Tam Tam in a minute. In the chat room, Santa was saying, because she was asking about reincarnation. That wasn't quite clear what she was saying, but she said, I have no clear question. Sorry, I was just thinking aloud how we are our own ancestors through reincarnation of parallel lives. Therefore, we have a responsibility to choose how we experience our lives and the existence. And I totally agree with you. For me, I feel like, you know, this show and all the other shows we do is about that. It's more than an intellectual thing. It's recognizing that we are a soul and a body, and how we perceive our life. We live in the intellect and think, well, the past damaged who I am today, so I can't move forward. The shows on this network is to help us to connect that we are soul and a body, and everything belongs. Everything is part of who we are. We belong. And then, yeah, we can honor ourselves. We can be gentle with ourselves. We can be compassionate with ourselves. So I agree with you. I see, well, we got a lot of callers. Lucy, you want to add anything before we take the next call?
No, I welcome the images. So thank you.
It's a soul healing happening for each and every one of us. Just the fact that you're listening to this conversation, healing is happening. You're moving from disempowerment to empowerment. So embrace the healing that's happening, even if your mind can't figure it out. Just slow it down. Take a breath and breathe in the healing. Let's go to Tamara. Hello, Tamara. How are you doing?
Hello, how are you? I am great. Hi, Lisa.
Hello,
it's really great
hello,
to,
you just
to come sit
in.
Here.
Hello.
Hello. That's great. You know, I wanted to share an experience I had this morning. I really had an ancestral experience, moment, teaching, not quite sure. But it was interesting because I'm here in Colorado visiting my daughter. And my daughter has a husky who's about 8 months old. And you can clearly tell by looking in his eyes that he's got wolf energy in him. And he is young, and he's a puppy, and he's full of strength. And he would yank me around in the backyard when I walked him because the kids didn't have a fence. But last night, the fence got finished. And so he got to run free. And it was really interesting to watch him. And this morning when I took him out, he was outside, he was running around, and, you know, even though his backyard now is fenced and he kind of has that limitation, that boundary, for him it was like freedom to watch him run, you know, and jump and just go crazy. And I'm watching him, and he's kind of sniffing around the fence a little bit, and after he got done checking everything out and running around, there's a large metal kennel, outdoor kennel. And do you know, after all of that, he walked right inside that kennel, and he laid down. And he spent like 20 minutes just laying in there. And I thought, you know, it's kind of like life. We have this big, huge playground, and sometimes we play in it, but it always seems that we kind of go back to that familiar and that comfortable, like that kennel. And I thought, gosh, what a great lesson that was, you know? It's like you kind of get out there, you kind of get your toe wet, you know, you kind of play in a little bit, and then you kind of go, wait, no, I think I'm just going to go back to what I know.
Yeah. But isn't that the freedom as well, really, the idea of being able to run free and being able to go back to the familiar? You know,
yes,
and if
yes.
And if one is moved, then we feel uncomfortable. You know,
yeah,
if the familiar is moved,
exactly.
We feel uncomfortable. If the freedom, what looks like freedom, is moved, we feel uncomfortable. So it's having the choice to go between the two. Yeah, life
yeah,
is
really going out into that unknown, you know, and then kind of going, okay, this is okay, but I'm going to go back here for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And so a lesson taught to you by your loyal friend. Go ahead, Lisa, sorry.
Well, yes, I just wanted to echo that. The blessing to be tuned in to the animals around us, to be tuned in to the natural world around us for lessons in life, you know. So, you know, when you share the story, it just, it reminds all of us how much information is around us all the time, that again, just to have a moment of presence to be tuned in a bit, away from our phones and our computers and, you know, all the technology,
right.
You know, to be present, mm-hmm. to the very simple natural world around us. There's a lot of information there. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tamara.
Thank
appreciate you.
You.
You know, Tamara brings a good point. In the, it will really help, is a nice segue, really, as we get ready to release the show, is what I'm thinking is, you know, what we can do if we are feeling disempowered where we are in our family, if we're feeling displaced, if we feel like we don't belong, and the kind of things that we can do to start supporting ourselves to feel grounded, to feel part of the community. And with Tamara's story, it just kind of reminds me that the importance of nature, the importance of being with the animals, looking at how they live their lives, and that helps us to slow it down, you know, because we, as you said, Lisa, we're always on the run. We, you know, some people get on a spiritual path, and I listen to radio shows, and they call and say, you know, what I really want to know is I want to know how to speed up this existence so I can transcend my body without, you know, it's like, just slow it down. Just, that's after. I feel like, just calm down. Enjoy this existence and don't try to rush it. But I don't know if you want to add anything to that, but I really want to just kind of release the show as we prepare to release the show on things we can do to actually start healing the past and the present. And maybe even releasing the judgment of the past so that we can find our place in the present moment, and that way we get to recreate a different future.
Yeah, as you asked the question, there are many different paths that come to mind. It's, you know, this image, mm-hmm. of a blueprint and of a map is interesting. I picture like an intersection, like a freeway intersection where there's lots of different roads to take, you know, there's
mm-hmm.
not just,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. But a couple of very simple suggestions, invitations are, you know, picturing one's, it could be one's mother, one's father, could be an elder, could be a grandparent or a great-grandparent, with a simple prayer of gratitude for passing
mm-hmm.
life. You know, this coming in contact, again, with the power of life force, that it has been passed on to us. Many of us might be inclined out of the things that have happened in family history, to be in a place of resistance, you know, with history, with family, and can be in relationship with life in a place of struggle, in a place that it's kind of like trying to push water uphill.
Mm-hmm.
And if just the simple image I'd like to leave people with is that, you know, life for each of us has been passed on like a waterfall. So
mm-hmm.
the people who pass life on to us, they stand a little bit higher up the hill in the waterfall. And
mm-hmm.
our place of belonging in relationship is in the receiving of the water position. So
mm-hmm.
just that image, if a person is feeling, you know, disempowered for whatever reason, to have a moment of just standing in a receiving of the waterfall position,
mm-hmm.
receiving of life, is a way to kind of feel more feel more grounded, feel more present. This kind of a,
I love that image. I love that image. You know, I just see us, you know, holding our hands together, holding out and receiving the water, and then our, you know, it's like we're moving real slow. That, and then we're going to pass it on to the next
yeah.
generation. And they
right.
get to pass it on to the next generation. And they just keep passing the water of
yeah.
life on to the next generation. What an image.
And so we're we are just the right ones to receive it. The ones who passed it on, we're just the right ones to pass it on. The ones who come after us are just the right ones for us to pass it on to. Mm. Whether we are parents or not, you know, we're the stewards of the web. We are the future ancestors because we're in the stewardship of the web position. And so we're all in it together, for sure.
You're all in it together. So, and we are truly connected. We are one. And it's really recognizing that. You know, it's just been a powerful show, speaking of ancestral power and disempowerment. And we just a reminder, you know, that as we receive the water with compassion and understanding, in spite of what happened in the past or what it showed, how it showed up, you're just receiving it with compassion, understanding, awareness. We get to pass the water on, infused with healing and understanding. And that's our responsibility. That's how I see it. I feel like we are responsible for the healing that we say we want to see in the world. We're responsible for the peace that we want to see in the world. So we all have a charge now. You have been charged to pass on the living water of healing. And Lisa, thank you. I love doing the shows with you and what comes up. It's like and I get to, when you talk about slowing it down and being and just really tapping into the soul, because sometimes words get in the way. But it's about really listening and asking oneself, what is coming up? What am I feeling? What am I seeing? What am I sensing? What am I smelling? And it all comes together. It all fades into God. Are you doing anything, workshop, conference, or traveling that you need listeners to know or anything like that?
Yeah, thanks for asking. I have events here in the Pacific Northwest. That people can email me about. That's what I know about my calendar right now. So that's what I know, and I'm happy if anybody wants to be in touch, they can be on my mailing list to learn about, you know, where I'll be and when. That's the easiest way to stay in touch, and my email address is on the website.
Indeed. So you can go to lisaiverson.com and or familyconstellationswest.com, familyconstellationswest.com, or lisaiverson.com, or just Google Ancestral Blueprint. She's got it locked down. It will take you to her. Oh, we love you. We bless you. We appreciate you, and we thank God for you. There's some comments in the chat room. Let me go here. Nisi said, we can recompose our song, rewrite our stories, repaint our portraits. We were born and reborn with the tools and the gifts. What else? People say they really love the show. I don't know if it's a question in the chat room. Are our ancestors beautiful dreamers? Did they dream us? Now, that's the question. Grasshopper, figure that one out. Are you dreaming? Why, you think your ancestors dreamed you up? That's the question. Whatever you find out, join me tomorrow and share. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to play two things, maybe two this year. I think I've got time to play two things. I'm going to play a song. I'm going to play something I played before by Reverend Deborah Johnson, and it's called The Unbroken Chain of Life, which summarizes everything we've been talking about. And then something from Carly Jackson about oneness. Lisa, thank you so much. I love you, and I look forward to doing the next show with you and looking forward to what comes through.
That sounds wonderful. Mm. You are a blessing to so many. It's a blessing to be with you and everybody who's been with us today. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Reverend Deborah Johnson, Unbroken Chain of Life, and then we're going to play Carly Jackson. I may come back and say something. I don't know. I think I will, looking at the time. Something real quick to release it. And but listen to this. If you can close your eyes and listen to it. Just listen with your heart and see what comes up. See what images shows up for you. Reverend Deborah Johnson, Unbroken Chain of Life.
I typically get a letter on my birthday. And for the last several years, the salutation has not been happy birthday, but happy begotten. We have a tendency when we think of a birthday as our life beginning the moment that we come out of the womb. If our life were a timeline, the moment out of the womb becomes T0. And we don't even give our mothers credit for the 9 months that we were in utero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, just a second before coming out of the womb, it's as though our life did not exist. And the reality is that it is not simply that our life started that moment out of the womb. We are part of an unbroken chain of life since the beginning of humanity. An unbroken chain of life. If any one of our great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmothers hadn't been alive, we wouldn't be here. And they had to live long enough to have children. So we are the descendant of survivors. So it isn't simply that, well, this is my birthday and this is the beginning of my life. No, we are the next link in the whole evolutionary unfoldment of humanity. That is so extraordinary when we get out of the egocentric way of looking at it. So just like we carry physical DNA, we carry this soul remembrance, the whole consciousness from the beginning, the wisdom, the understanding, the creativity, you know, the love, the power, the passion, you know, all of that. So when a child is born, we should celebrate the fact that this beautiful essence has come here not as a blank slate, but as a wonderful place of convergence, of energy and awareness that wants to express itself in this time zone.
If you want to find out more about Reverend Deborah Johnson, go to her website, deborahjohnson.com, and that's deborahjohnson.org. She's also the founder and minister of innerlightministries.com, innerlightministries.com. We are all part of an unbroken chain of life. We are connected. We are one. Be love. It's the essence of who you are. Be true to yourself. Your life depends on it. And allow the love to come back to you. Be loved, beloved. We are releasing the show, and this is Carly Jackson. We are one. Actually, we're going to do Lesson in Oneness. And I'll see you tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern. Tune in for the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show. Peace and blessings.
Do you see your eyes when you look at me? Do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? Well, I know now that we are one. When I'm hurting you, I am hurting me. When I'm loving you, I am loving me. I know now that we are one. We are one. We are one, we are one, we are one, we are one, we are one. 'Cause there is no separation, 'cause we are one. When I'm judging you, I am judging me. When I'm praising you, I am praising me. I know now that we are one. When I'm fearing you, I'm a afraid of me. When I see God in you, I see God in me. I know now that we are one. 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 Well, there is no separation, 'cause we are one. Now do you see your eyes when you look at me? Now do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? I'm hoping that you know that we are one. 'Cause there is no separation, 'cause we are one.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.